Could we turn again, please, to where we were reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and just before we consider God's word, we'll seek his face in prayer, asking for his help as we come to the preaching of his word. Let's all pray. Our Father, we do thank thee for the wonder that it is to be able to say that Jesus is mine. We thank thee that it makes all of the difference in life and in death to be able to say that I am his and he is mine forever and forever. And we pray that as we come to consider thy truth, that those of us who know and love the Lord, that great thought would mean something more to us, that we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we pray for those who as yet are still in their sin, unforgiven, unready to meet thee. We pray that it would please thee to speak to their hearts and to draw them on to thyself. Take thy truth, that which is thine own word, apply it to our hearts, we pray, according to thy will, for we ask it in our Saviour's name. Amen. Treasure is a word that conjures up in our minds images of costly and rare items such as silver, gold, or diamonds. When we think of treasure, we think of items of immense value, perhaps hidden, or perhaps stored in some suitably grand container. The word treasure also speaks to us of that which we most esteem, that which is most precious to us. The Saviour himself said in Matthew 6, verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." We find this word treasure used in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The apostle, as he begins this chapter in verse 1, he speaks of his role as a Christian minister. In verse 2, he declares how, unlike others, he doesn't handle the word of God deceitfully, but he aims to declare God's truth with honesty. And in verses 3 through to 6, he reveals that his appointed task is to preach the gospel, or the good news concerning Jesus Christ. He says in verse 5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." This good news, it had penetrated Paul's heart, and being in his heart then, he declared it to others, as we read in verse 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." This good news Paul sought to declare. And it is then when we come into verse 7 that he uses that term treasure. He says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." He speaks of treasure, but treasure in a most lowly setting. It is treasure in an earthen vessel. That term, earthen, speaks of a clay vessel, earthenware, a terracotta vessel. It suggests something that is frail and fragile. And in this frail, ordinary vessel, there is this wonderful treasure. Paul is speaking of himself as a Christian minister, as a preacher, through the image of an earthen vessel. As a man, he was a mere vessel of clay. And yet the Lord had done something marvelous in his heart, forgiven his sin, granted him peace, and then sent him out carrying this wonderful good news, this treasure within his very being. And it is a miracle of God that the true preacher of the gospel, though he is himself an earthen vessel, feeble and frail and not worthy of any notice, yet he carries to his hearers this wonderful treasure. And it is that that I would like to consider with you this evening, the treasure in earthen vessels. The treasure in earthen vessels. We can notice, first of all, the description of this treasure. The description of this treasure is given in verse 4 when the apostle, speaking of the gospel, he describes it in the second half of verse 4 as the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. And from this description, we can say that this treasure, it is shining treasure. It emits light. The apostle speaks of the light of this glorious gospel of Christ. He speaks of it shining. And this treasure that is in poor earthen vessels, it shines, it gives light. And this is the most wonderful thought tonight, that the treasure that is the gospel, it shines. And it shines with brilliant, pure, and holy light. This shining light, it speaks to us of beauty and of purity, of goodness and also of power. A great and a beautiful jewel, it will sparkle, it will glitter, and it will shine. But it only reflects light. It doesn't give light, but so great is this treasure that it actually gives light. And this is so important when you grasp that naturally, as you're born into this world, you don't have any light. As you're born into this world, you are in darkness. Notice what the apostle says in verse 3 concerning those who are without the gospel. He says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And why are they lost? But he says in verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Naturally, you are in darkness. You're in darkness regarding the truth of God. The God of this world, the devil, he deceives you regarding the truth of God. He deceives you regarding your sin. He deceives you regarding the reality of your sin. He deceives you with regarding the fact that your sin is rebellion against God, that your sin brings you under God's condemnation. He keeps you in darkness regarding God himself. He may tell you that there is no God. He may deceive you regarding the character of God, cause you to miss God's great holiness, which means he must punish sin. And he keeps you in darkness because he desires your destruction. And yet all the while that you are in darkness, there is light. And there is light available to you. But you may fail to grasp this light because it's only in a poor earthen vessel. It's only some poor preacher who brings it before you. But remember that though the vessel may be earthen, the light within it is pure. Whereas Satan, he deceives you with the things of this world. Those things that attract you, they glitter on the outside, but within they are as dark as night. But oh, this treasure that is in earthen vessels, it shines with brilliant, holy, perfect light, and its shining brings you hope. Its shining brings you truth. Its shining brings to you salvation. This treasure is shining treasure, but we also note from verse 4 that it's glorious treasure. It's described as the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. The glory of this treasure far exceeds the greatest treasures of this world. What matchless glory there is in the love of God to sinners. That God would love sinful men is a great mystery. But when we think of the plan of God to bring sinful man onto himself, it becomes all the more amazing that God would give his Son, that he would come to suffer and die in the sinner's place. What glory there is in that thought. What glory in those words of the Savior himself when he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Son of God came to die. He came to pour out his life's blood to pay the sinner's debt. And this gospel, this treasure tells me that my Savior took the punishment that I deserved. He endured my hell. He died in my place. He took my sins. And in his place, gives me his perfect righteousness. Earth has nothing more glorious than this wonderful message. This message that there is a Savior who promises to take your sin and in its place give his perfection. This message that there is a way to escape the damnation of hell. This message that there is a way to the bliss of heaven. This message is the greatest treasure of all. It is truly glorious. And so, considering this description, we can say that this treasure, it is glorious, it is shining. We can also say that it is divine. It is described here as the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. This is the gospel of Christ. It is all about him. It concerns his life, his death, his resurrection. It's all about his wonderful person and his saving work. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah. As the Savior, he is the one who is both God and man. He is the eternal Son who took our humanity to himself as he came into the world. And as the God-man, he is the image of God to men and women in the person of Christ. God who is infinite and eternal. God who is pure spirit. The Almighty One, the one who is from everlasting to everlasting, in the person of Christ, he reveals himself to men and women. This treasure that is in these earthen vessels, it is divine. It's not the ideas or philosophy of men. Paul here is explaining that the Christian minister, he, as he communicates the gospel, he possesses within his frail human frame a treasure that is divine. The gospel of Christ is not just another man-made religion. It is God revealing himself to men in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone can give us peace with God. Look at what verse 6 says. It says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And so, this treasure, while it is housed in a mere earthen vessel, it's not of the earth. It's heavenly. It is divine. So we have the description of this treasure, but we can notice in the second place the purpose of this treasure that is in these earthen vessels. Verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." The reference to power here reveals to us that the purpose of this treasure being in earthen vessels is to manifest the power of God. And the power spoken of here is that power that flows from the death of Christ. By his death, the Savior defeated the power of death. Through his death, the Savior purchased eternal life for his people, bearing away their sins. And this power to transform lives, this power to cleanse away sin, this power to defeat death, it is manifested in the life of the minister and in the life of all true believers. Note what Paul says of his life, verses 8 through to 11. He says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." The amazing nature of Paul's life, the way in which he was supported and held up in all of his great sufferings, it manifested the power of Christ in him. Paul suffered for Christ, and in his suffering he was identified with Christ, and yet all the while his perseverance in the Christian life, the way he was upheld in his walk with God, it was all a manifestation of the power of Christ in him. And the survival of the weak earthen vessel is testimony to the power that is within. And this is true of all believers. As we live out our faith, as we live in this world, we are sustained only by the power of God. And through our life and witness, God declares his power to men. The weakness of the earthen vessel, it serves more fully and more clearly to demonstrate the power that is within. The great leaders of this world, they seek to show their power by great displays of wealth, by parades of military equipment. But our God, he manifests his power by taking something that is weak, something with no outward glory, a mere earthen vessel, and yet its very weakness is testimony to the treasure that is within. Today you may look at those believers around you, those Christians who speak to you of Christ, and you may look at them, and according to the reckoning of this world, they're people of no ability and people of little importance. But this demonstrates to you the power of the Savior. He takes the weakest. He takes the most despised. He takes the seemingly hopeless, and he makes them his children by his great power. And this reveals to you that what he has done for others, he can do for you as well. If the power of Christ can save the most wretched, the most sinful, the most depraved, the most self-righteous of men, men like the Apostle Paul, then that same power can save you as well. These people, these believers that perhaps you despise and you look down upon them, their very weakness manifests the power of God to you. And so the purpose of this treasure in earthen vessels is to manifest God's power, but it's also to bring glory to God. That verse 7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." God's glory, he will not share with another. And so Christianity is not about man's efforts. It's not about man's reasonings. It's not about man's ability. It's all about the Lord. And therefore God uses weak instruments, earthen vessels, so that the mighty work that he does through them could never be attributed to them, but only to him. Note verse 15, what the Apostle Paul says of his own ministry. He says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." And this is always the case with the Lord's servants. Think of those disciples as they met on the evening of that resurrection day. They were meeting behind closed doors because of their fear. And the Savior, he appeared to them, and he spoke peace to their hearts, and then he sent them out to serve him. He says, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And those weak and fearful men, they went out, and through their witness and testimony, they brought glory to God. In Acts chapter 4, we read of Peter and John, and as they served the Lord, they brought glory to his name. When people saw their weakness, they gave glory to God. Acts 4:13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus." A true witness is one who gives glory to God by telling you of Jesus Christ. This is the message that brings glory to God, the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was the message that Peter and John were preaching in Acts 4. In verse 12, it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." The religions of this world will speak to you of the thoughts of men, the methods of men, the organizations of men, but the true minister of Christ, the true minister of the gospel, is one who points away from himself, one who points away from the mere earthen vessel, and he points to the treasure that is within, that treasure being Christ himself, the hope of glory. And therefore this God-glorifying message, it is the real thing. You can be assured that this is the authentic message of God, for it gives glory to God. It doesn't give glory to man, but it points you to the Savior of men, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so we have the description of this treasure, and we have the purpose of this treasure, but we can also note in the third and final place the value of this treasure, the value of this treasure. We cannot really place a value on the treasure that is in earthen vessels. It's more than we can quantify. But we can say that it is of infinite value. How can we put a value on what it is to have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ? Here in this chapter, the apostle, he speaks of his many struggles. And yet he speaks of knowing overcoming power and the grace of God. In verse 13, he declares how by faith he holds on to the truth concerning Jesus Christ. And then he goes on in verse 14 to say how faith lays hold of the reality of Christ's resurrection and how that brings the apostle and those who believe his message onto salvation and peace with God. And then the apostle, knowing that he has peace with God, knowing that God is using him for his glory, knowing that he is the means by which others will be saved, he is then able to face the deepest trials of his life. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. This is the infinite value of having this treasure that is within the earthen vessel. The power of Christ dwelling within, renewing the inward man day by day. And what is true of the minister in a special sense is also true of all believers. Those who heed this message of the gospel, they partake of this infinite blessing, this treasure in earthen vessels. And if you would heed the word that your minister brings to you week by week, what a value that would be to your soul. If you would listen to those pleas to repent of sin, if you would grasp the truth of Christ Jesus dying in your place, what a blessing that would be to you. For when you receive Christ as your own, by his Spirit he comes to dwell within, and he is the treasure within your soul. He gives peace. He gives you purpose. He gives you power to live for him. He gives you a passion for himself. He makes all things new. This is the infinite value of this treasure in earthen vessels. And oh, the value of being able to say that though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. What can we say of what it means of the worth of the glorious blessing to have day by day the presence of the risen Lord within your very being? Don't despise this treasure that is in earthen vessels. In the Gospels, so often the Savior exhorted people to weigh up the value of what he held before them. And oh, the infinite value of knowing Christ. He is worth more than many worlds could offer you. You'll never find a treasure of such value. This treasure is of infinite value. But we can also note that it is of eternal value. Verses 17 and 18, as the apostle rounds up his thoughts, he compares his present struggles with the promised blessings of heaven. He says in verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Notice how he describes the paradise of God, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It's as if the words cannot fully bear the meaning that he's placing upon them. And again, what he says of himself is true of all Christians in a general sense. To belong to Christ is to live a life in this world that will never fully fit in. It is a life in which the hope that is within us constantly desires to know more of God and less of sin. And so it is a life of struggle and difficulty at times. It is a life in which, in the providence of God, we suffer, that we might become more like Christ. But yet, what is the eternal value of knowing the Lord? To have Christ in your life now is a most wonderful blessing. And yet it does bring all of the struggles, all of the difficulties of living as a pilgrim, living as a stranger in this world, living a life by faith, but all the value of knowing Christ in glory. Oh, the value of one day leaving this house of clay. Oh, the value of one day departing the earthen vessel and beholding his face in righteousness, to see the Lord as he is, to enter into that eternal day, to gather around the throne and sing unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Oh, the value of knowing Christ in glory. Notice the apostles' confidence in the very first verse of chapter 5. He says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." We know that glory awaits us. And this eternal value of this treasure, it gives us a different perspective on life. Verse 18, the apostle says, "Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal." Tonight, you may be living for the things that are seen, the things of this life, those temporary things that will fade one day. And as you look at the believers around you, you think that they have nothing that compares with the life that you have in this world. But what you don't realize is that there is within the earthen vessel a treasure that you cannot see with the physical eye, and that treasure is divine, and that treasure is eternal. It will last forever in the paradise of God. Remember what the Savior said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I wonder, is your heart with Christ tonight? He is the treasure in earthen vessels. The gospel is simply Christ, who he is, what he has done, what he promises to do. And I wonder, is he yours tonight? Is this treasure yours tonight, or does it just belong to the minister? Does it just belong to someone else? Without this treasure, you are without hope. Notice what the apostle says in verse 3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." And oh, the meaning of that little word, lost. To be lost in hell forever. To be lost with no hope of deliverance. To be lost in the agonies and torments of outer darkness forevermore. To be lost, lost, lost forever. All you have are the fleeting pleasures of this life. And then the agony of eternal torment. Oh, the value then of this treasure. This treasure that your minister brings before you. Perhaps like the Apostle Paul, through great struggles in his own life. But I wonder, would you make it yours tonight? And say by faith, it's not just going to be someone else's, but by faith I'm going to receive it, and I'm going to make it mine. I will receive God's mercy while it is extended to me, leaving my sin. I will receive the Savior. This treasure will be mine. May it be yours this evening for his name's sake.